We have all heard the term intuition, mother's intuition, women's intuition. I'm sure you have all at one time or another used that term or even felt your own intuition. But what is it? Is it real? Let's chat about it. Welcome back, everybody. It's another episode of Candidly with Coffee.
And we are back.
We are back, and do you know what episode it is?
499.
You're right. Good for you. Yes, it's episode 499, you guys. We are almost there. We are at the home stretch for episode 500. So thank you guys so much for tuning in to another episode of Candidly with Coffee. We just love this. We love you guys.
Man, we've been putting it down for a while. That's a lot of episodes. Mm-hmm. We're about to hit 500.
Yeah, and we'll get into that in the next episode. We'll do all that reminiscing and stuff. But for now, let's chat about what we've got going on. Man, it's been a fucking busy-ass week.
Man, I know. You're not lying. It's exhausting. Can't catch up. Trying our best.
I'm running from the next thing to the next, literally doing three things at once. Before I came here, I was drawing my self-tan, eating lunch, editing an episode, like all at the same time, like while the, because sometimes the edit gets stuck because the files are so big. So while that was on the hourglass, took a couple bites of my sandwich, then threw on my robe, like multitasking at its finest.
That's what you got to do sometimes, man. And that just goes to show you, like, what we say, what is our best saying? Gettingshitdone.com. We need to get that shirt because we do. We, when we get things done, sometimes you overwhelm yourself. If you're good at it, you start overthinking everything. And you start stressing yourself. And I was like, nah, just take one task at a time. That way you don't get too worked up.
I've gotten better at doing that, on not overwhelming myself and just, okay, just one thing at a time. If it spills onto the next week, I think sometimes, because I talk my clients through this kind of stuff, I think sometimes people assume because I get up early and I have to-do lists and I do all that stuff that you think that I actually get everything done on that list. No, no, no. The list spilleth over to the next day and the next day.
Yeah, it's crazy how much shit you do. You're helping me with my channel, helping me, what, we did my second podcast interview yesterday.
Yep.
You help editing. There's a lot of stuff you do. That's just for me. Mm-hmm. That's not, you have a client you work with as well as my client, Mauricio, editing his show, producing his show, and then we got to produce this. Then you have social media and your clients. It's nuts. And brand deals, and the list goes on. It's nonstop.
It's crazy. That's why, even when I coach clients through that being busy, like, I'm not on a high horse thinking I'm the only one that's busy. Cause I remember my years before, my busyness was busy, but just different, but the same thing. I had a full-time job. I worked in San Francisco. I had two kids under the age of four. My husband at the time worked a completely different shift. We didn't see each other at all. I had did a lot of commuting. I had a lot going on back then too. I think the important thing is, no matter what you do, no matter what it is, what your job is, whatever, you have to really get good at time management.
Yeah, you do. Straight up. It's no other way, because if not, you're going to be all over the place. Kind of like I am. Sometimes I'm all over the place, but I'm honing it down even better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to work on that with you, getting you a list, a to-do list, because with ADHD, and Alyssa said it's really helped her a lot, is having a list, like a daily tasks. Like, you get up in the morning and think, you don't have to overwhelm yourself and think far advance. Like, I'm always out like 5-6 days. I've got planned tasks. You could just do it more every morning and just think, okay, today I want to get these things done. Yeah. And you write it out in your notepad with the little circles, and you could check it off as you go, and you'll start to notice you'll be more productive that way.
Yeah, because with ADHD, you can't have us do 2-3 things at once. I always tell you, hold up, babe. I got to do my post first, and I can do that. I can't do 2-3 things at once. That's not how our brain works. We can't. We'll be all over the place. We won't get shit done. We'll be spinning our wheels. And then we'll be overwhelmed, flustered, and then I get moody as fuck. I get like, I want to snap. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's just that brain. Mm-hmm. It gets spazzed out.
I think that you should think about what would help this brain, which we've talked about a few episodes ago, accomplish more tasks and get more organized. And it is a daily task list. I think that you should try it. You've never tried that, and it'll help.
I'm coaching now with somebody. I got to coach. I got no choice. It's going to give me a to-do list.
Yeah, you're going
to. I got to execute. I'm going to give you everything, but you got to execute. So, yeah, I have no choice. I'm going to have to do a to-do list.
Yeah.
I know what I have to do as soon as I get the first thing in the morning. As dumb as it sounds, I got to get to social media, see what's on, what's going on, the traction. Get to my YouTube, make sure I post my shorts, post some content for Instagram.
But you have to have a list. Not just knowing, because knowing doesn't make it happen. Trust me, when you have the tasks written out, you will be more likely to get them done. Because there's a glaring open circle looking at you when you don't get it done. Like when I looked at your shorts and you hadn't posted a short in a couple of days, I was like,
oh, no, that's not true. I don't go post.
A whole day without.
Yeah, one day.
So
don't
it had
lie.
Been 2 days.
One day. And I posted twice today. Posted twice yesterday. I'll probably post another one later. Just because I forget. Brain forgets. I feel like a piece of my memory, my brain got lost when
exactly
I hit a stroke.
What I just said. But you wouldn't forget if you had a daily task list.
Yeah.
That's the whole point.
I'm not good with that, so I got to get better with that for sure.
Yeah. I am, I don't know if you guys can tell, I'm developing as we sit here because I tanned before I took a shower and then I tanned and now I won't shower it off until tomorrow. So I'm literally marinating in my self tan as I do this podcast. I hate this smell. I can smell it. But it was another one of those things that just, I had to fit it in because we're going to LA. So that's what I wanted to talk about. We're going to LA this weekend. That's why this weekend's been extra busy. Our production schedule has been different. Everything's been different because guess what? The work schedule, the clients, the meal plans, the macros, the shows don't go away just because we're going to be out of town.
They don't. We make adjustments. We squeeze it in to make it happen. Basically, what she's telling you guys is no matter what we got going on, an event coming up, we're leaving town, we make sure we have podcasts for you guys ready to listen to so you don't go a day without them and you're like, oh my God, what happened? They missed today. Nah, we don't miss. We hit. We never miss.
Yeah, we still prioritize that. We're going to LA. So we're going to LA for the Aspire Tour. It's very motivational. We have diamond passes. We're going, Mike's coaching client, but my partner in Mauricio Mejia Live, his podcast, he has a book coming out. And so he's going to do a little press for his book on Friday. And as part of that team, we're going to be there to support him. And then we're going to the event. We have some dinners planned. So it's a busy weekend, but I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, yeah. It's going to be fun. And go back to our old stomping grounds, LA. Good old Los Angeles.
I love Los Angeles. We're actually staying in downtown, our old stomping, like our legit old stomping grounds, because we used to live in downtown Los Angeles.
What's the name of that place we lived again? I'd always forget.
Watermark?
The Watermark. Literally, you guys, it was pretty dope because it's literally walk up the street, like a block or so, hit a left, like another block, Staples Center's right there.
Yeah.
That was cool. That was an experience.
There was a lot of influencers that lived in that building, too. It was a very influencer-style building. I could always recognize people when they were posting. I'm like, hey, that's in our complex. It was a cool spot, though. And I loved it. It was walking distance to Trader Joe's, Whole Foods, my favorite acai bowl place that was downstairs. There was a Starbucks across the street. Mm-hmm. There was, back in our alcohol drinking days, do you remember the milk punch?
Oh,
that
my
was
God.
So good.
Dude.
There was this restaurant down at the bottom of our complex. And I can't remember the name of it now, but it was quite popular.
Something olive. No.
It wasn't olive. It was a flower of some sort.
Fig?
No, fig and olive. We went to that. Okay, that's Damn. It was a flower, some sort of a flower. Anyways, it was the drinks were all like mixology drinks.
Yeah.
And we could just stumble on up to our apartment after, so we would get a little bit sloshed there. But they had this stuff called the milk punch.
Yeah.
It takes days to make it. It takes 3 days to make a batch of it.
Yeah.
And it does not taste like alcohol at all. It's very mild. And so it's very dangerous. And you can buy it by the big jug. Do you remember we bought like the big jug of it?
And we split it. And all four of us, right?
Four of us. We had another couple with us. And the waitress said that be careful with the milk punch. Michael Strahan was just in here, and he, let's just say we had to make sure he got home safely.
Yeah, I remember that story. Damn, that drink is scary because it's so damn good.
Yeah.
And you can't really taste the alcohol, and it'll creep on you.
No, and it's very strong because of the way it ferments. It literally, there's a fermentation process on it, the way they make it. And listen, I don't drink anymore, but that was good times. I have good memory, good memories from that, from the milk punch.
Man, I'd almost be tempted to, but nah, I'm done. I can't do it because I'd enjoy myself too much. One drink wouldn't be enough.
So it's Friday. You guys are listening to this on a Friday. We normally do our scheduled YouTube live tonight because we don't know exactly what we're going to be doing. We're not doing the scheduled YouTube live, but we are probably going to pop on live at some point. So make sure you hit the bell to be notified so that you can join if you happen to see that we go live. We might also go live on Instagram. So if you're not following us on Candidly_with Coffee on Instagram, make sure you follow us so you don't miss it. Because I'm going to bring the ring light and the camera and our little mics, and we'll just do some content. Make sure you guys do not miss out and you can get like updates on what we have going on in LA. I know it's very businessy. We're doing a lot of work-related stuff. But on Sunday, there's a couple of spots I want to hit. I want to go to Alfred's Coffee Shop because I see that on vlogs all the time.
Okay.
And then I also want to go to Joe and the Juice because I want a tuna cotto sandwich. It's famous.
Yeah, you've been talking about this. One in San Francisco.
Yeah, so I want to go to Joe and the Juice in LA.
Tuna cotto?
Yeah, they have all kinds of like sandwiches. And so we've been to Joe and the Juice in Miami, but I didn't know about the viral tuna cotto sandwich. And it's supposedly really like good.
Yeah, I might have to try it with you then.
Yeah.
I like tuna.
Yeah.
I think it was done right.
I think you'd like it. I really think you'd like it.
There's cheese in there too?
I think so. And it's warm and the bread is crisp, crunchy, crispy.
Oh, that sounds like me, yeah.
And then there's like a pesto sauce in it. Yeah, so damn. I definitely want to have that on Sunday. So I'm looking forward to it. It's a road trip. You're going to do the driving so that I can work.
Of course I am. What's new? Of course she's going to stick it to me. I'm going to listen to my Joe Rogan podcast all the way up.
Yeah, that's fine. I'm going to be editing. So I have my laptop. I ordered from Amazon like a laptop desk and like this adapter thing just to charge up my laptop because my laptop battery dies after 2 hours when I'm editing because it's so many different softwares.
So much juice.
So hopefully I have time before we leave to go to the AT&T store to get a new like portable internet though because the one I have doesn't work anymore.
Hey, so can you do me a favor? Can you plug me on my podcast?
What do you want? Right here?
Yeah. Because it's my second one. And what did we do? Because you did a great job on it. So I'm going to give a shout out to my wife. Kudos, man. Our podcast it was a mobile podcast. We wasn't sure how it was going to work.
Yeah.
And man, it went good. Getting tons of feedback.
Yeah. Now sky's the limit. We're going to go. Now we can, we have a really good method to have mobile guests. So we're using something called Riverside. I'll actually link it if you guys or anyone's got content creator or interested in a mobile podcast potentially.
Yes. Or tag someone that you know that my wife should have on. Tag them.
It's called Riverside and it's an alternative to Zoom. See, I've never wanted to do interviews or mobile podcasts because I cannot stand watching somebody Zoom. I Mm-mm. never watch. I don't care how interesting the guests are. I cannot get into it. The quality's bad. The sound is bad. Yeah. I don't like it.
Yeah.
So I found this thing called Riverside and Mike was the first one to have a guest on Riverside using Riverside. And it was so cool. The quality is impeccable. It's studio quality. Obviously, we did it in the studio, and then the guest was in his office or whatever.
Yeah.
It was a really good show, too. So Mike's podcast, you guys, Esco Elite Mindset, it's on YouTube. It's also going to be audio as well. It's going to be everywhere where you can get podcasts. And he is going to primarily, like this, Candidly with Coffee is like more of a woman audience, and Esco Elite Mindset's more of a male-driven audience, and he's going to have he has lots of cool guests slated to come on. But the episode you did with Kyle Perry of Perry's Powerhouse, it was really good. So I was producing, so I was in on the episode, but you guys can't hear me or see me.
But look, though, like you said, primarily men. Watch this, though. I'm going to get women in the future, too. Why not? Got to be open to it.
I'm not saying that. I'm just, I'm not saying you can't. I'm just saying that your primary target audience, because you have to have
for sure
a target audience for a podcast to be successful.
Your vibe attracts your tribe.
Yeah. Anyway, so you guys make sure I'm not saying that our women, a lot of times women, they want to hear the male driven content.
They want to hear our side, our perspective. I want to hear their side, their perspective on things. It's nice to hear both sides.
For sure. So it's not that it doesn't cross over. I'm just saying in general.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so you guys check that out over on Mike's channel, Esco Elite Fitness on YouTube, but the podcast is ESCO Elite Mindset. And it's what would you say? It's based on you're trying to do what exactly? What message? What's your message for your show?
Like, we all have a past. We've all fallen down. We've all dealt with addiction, lots of us. Some of us incarceration. But it's never too late to turn around your mental health and your physical health. But the first thing I like to teach people is, like, you got to deal with the shit that's going on inside of you. Your core root, what the fuck's going on before you can fix anything. Like, how's your household? How's your relationship with your family? How's everything? It's so important you have a good, like, we have a great relationship. So my household is good. So I'm able to do macros like it's easy. Like, basically adhere to my eating plan. You can't adhere to any plan if you're all over the place mentally. So you got to fix that first. And like I said, I can relate to a lot of stuff that men are going through because I've been there. You know what I'm saying? Addiction, survived suicide, and now I'm a stroke survivor. I've been in prison. I grew up in the streets, gang court. There's a lot of stuff I've been through that I can relate to other people with.
So it makes it feel like if you can do it, they can do it.
Of course.
And that's the whole message, I think.
Of course.
It's just, it's the same thing I do for women, right? Yeah. If I can do it, they can do it.
Yeah.
I'm not special in any way, shape, or
form.
That's
what I always say. We're not special. We just have a strong mindset.
Exactly. All right. So moving on to the hot coffee topic. I thought this one was so interesting.
There we go.
So there was a woman that's viral on TikTok, and she is trying to reach the wife of whomever she was sitting next to on an airplane. She described what he looked like, what he was wearing, where what his name was, where he was flying to. Why did she want to do that? Because on her flight, she witnessed the entire flight was setting up his Hinge profile.
Hinge
is for hookups.
Oh, shit. That's new.
His
I never
Hinge
heard
of it. Hinge profile in the area that he was in. So that's a thing. So guys, if they're traveling, they'll set up a fake profile of the area they're traveling to connect with people in that area. So say he was going to Detroit.
Yeah.
He's now Michael from Detroit, and he's interested in yada, 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 and so that he can get his hookups while he is there. So she knew he was married because before takeoff, he said goodnight to his kids. He said goodbye to his wife. I love you. Can't wait to see when I get home. Got off the phone with his wife and proceeded to set up his fucking Hinge. Can you believe this
shit? We have a lot of concerned citizens these days, don't we?
Oh, my
God. That's crazy, man. Damn. Nobody's safe.
Dude, and it's viral. It's viral. The guy, for sure, she's going to be found. If not, I'll have to do a little research after I do this episode to see if she's been found. He's going to get busted.
Yeah, because the audience here, the girls, the ladies are going to be like, Janine, do tell. We want to follow up on this.
Oh, you could see. Like, I looked at the video, and it had been forwarded and shared like 30,000 times already. So like it was, and it had like, I don't know, a million views.
Oh, all she has to do is say what flight number, where they're traveling to.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time. But not to get off topic, didn't we find out a story about some dude went to the Philippines or somewhere crazy? I don't know who they told me a story. Slept with somebody over there. Told them they didn't have a social media site. That girl still found him and reached out to the wife somehow.
I think so. That sounds familiar.
I can't remember exactly how, but something like that played out. But the dude said, oh, he didn't give her no real contact info or no social media. He's on social media.
Listen, you cannot. It's we too hard. That. And these,
it is.
There's these groups of women that they go on the hunt. They're almost like they make it their mission to bust out married men on trips, like Nashville trips, Vegas trips. So it's like a little bit of entrapment.
Really?
And they'll collect evidence, and then they go to TikTok and provide all the evidence. They especially like to bust out the bachelors.
Yeah.
They like to bust out the bachelors because they're about to get married. So they'll be like, yo, come get your fiance.
Yeah.
You know, because he's wilding out here.
Wow.
I have some stories on this, but I'm going to save it for Patreon.
Oh, yeah.
Because it's too juicy.
Sorry, you guys. You got to go to Patreon.
I can't out people, even if they're no longer my friends. But on Patreon, I might just out a few people.
Out them. Let's go. Out them.
All right, moving on. Sorry, guys. You gotta go to Patreon. Sorry.
Yep.
We're moving on to Comment Corner. The last episode was with Alyssa, and it was so good. And you're the best. We have the best listeners. Everyone is so nice and kind, and I know it makes Alyssa feel good to see. And she wants to do more with me, which I'm excited because it's not a fluke anymore. The feedback and the messages I get from the episodes with Alyssa saying, hey, this was really helpful. I have daughters and yes. this really helped me. It a lot. I had a lot of people reach out in DMs.
I saw the comments. They're like, man, I and want this relationship with my daughter. Your goals. I see that.
Yeah. And that makes me feel good. And I wasn't trying to lamp myself up. I was fully ready for her to come at me with something, but she was very kind. But the first comment is Grizzly Loves. I loved this episode so much. I have a 6-year-old daughter and always wonder what our relationship will be like when she's an adult. You and Alyssa are goals for sure. I have to say, I used to wonder the same thing, and it's everything I hoped it would be.
Yeah, because there's no guarantee.
No.
You might be all lovey-dovey, all cuddly cutie when she's a kid. Then she goes her little bratty teenagers.
Yeah.
Then she becomes an adult and changes it to a whole different person.
You know? Yeah. And I think that, like Alyssa said it perfectly, our friendship has just evolved naturally. We've just... Actually, I remember specifically when I started to realize it was happening. She was 16. And I traveled with her to Detroit for an acro competition. And I think I'm particular with who I travel with, especially with sharing a room. And I know it's my daughter, but she's particular too. And we realized on that trip, we laughed so hard, but we're like, wow, we are so compatible, like to travel together. This is going to be fun when I'm older. That's what Alyssa said, because I could see us being really, and ever since, every time we've traveled together, we're so compatible.
Oh, you guys have traveled together too.
Yeah. No, yeah, we have. We've done several trips now since then.
Competitions.
Yeah, and we travel very well together. We enjoy each other a lot when we travel, and we're very similar, and we're particular about things and very organized about travel, and it was just,
Pushing it to the last minute.
No, we're extremely punctual and all the things, but I remember having that realization. We were in bed laughing, like eating donuts or something like that on that trip. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, this is what I always dreamed about. I'm so excited we're getting there to that point where she's older and we can travel. In fact, I was talking to Lisa earlier, and we're going to plan a girls' trip because my cousin, who we grew up as like sisters, you know that we grew up like sisters. She has daughters, and her daughter and Alyssa are friends. And we're going to do a girls' trip, just all the daughters, her daughters, Alyssa, me, and we're going to do a road trip to like LA, San Diego.
Oh, nice.
In the summer.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's going to be fun.
That'll be fun. That'll be good. Good bonding experience.
Yeah. I'm excited. But we're finally there, but you'll get there. And there's no rush. Trust me. Enjoy every stage of life, because I truly did enjoy every stage, but this is my favorite.
Yeah, the good, the bad, and the ugly, because there was an ugly stage too.
Yeah. What would you say was the ugly stage?
That I experienced between you two? Yeah. It really wasn't much. It was her most just, her tough years through acro. She would take out her beatdowns from acro on you, come home moody, tired, or she had to deal with injury, and she's tough though. She dealt with it, but just that's really it. I know she had her little tantrum phase.
It was hard, that time frame. And the reason for that was she was battling with herself, because she was a high level competitive athlete and wasn't being treated. They didn't treat them at all. They treated them like you wouldn't believe how they expect these kids to perform. But she was so committed to the sport, but was not enjoying herself at the same time. And she would download to me and I would want to fix it for her. Like, hey, listen, like maybe it's time to move on. And she didn't want to move on.
No.
So I'm like,
she was latched on for a while. She was almost like a Stockholm syndrome.
Yeah. I was like, what do you want me to do? Like, you're miserable.
Yep.
You cry sometimes when I have to take you.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's time to call it a day. I'll support you. And you refuse. So I felt like I couldn't win.
Yeah.
It was a difficult time for her too, mentally. But yeah, I would say that was the hardest thing.
She's very competitive with herself, because once she transitioned out of that, you finally pulled her off from that olive branch. Like, all right, time to go. She saw you compete and somehow you planted the seed in her. Like, you should give it a shot. You have the mindset. You have the body for it. You're strong-willed. And she did it on her own terms. And she decided to commit SQ. She went for it, man. She had fun doing it. She didn't look miserable doing it.
No, she loved it. So, yeah, that was a good experience. All right, moving on to the next comment. Taryn 12, this episode just warmed my heart. You both have such a sweet, fun dynamic. More Alyssa on the show. Yeah, I definitely will be having her on again for sure. The next comment, Hap1221, I love this. I've always thought that when adult children are still close to their parents and wanting to spend time with them, that 100% means the parents have done something right.
Agreed. Yeah. Facts. Super facts.
Yeah, I feel like it's like you finally reap the rewards of their childhood and all of going through all those phases. And the phase, and listen, the phase happens, sorry, but you cannot pass the phase where they just don't like you very much and they don't want to spend time with you and you can't force it.
No.
It is what it is. They will come. If you've done everything right and fostered a proper, solid relationship with your child, they will come back to you, but you have to let them go. You know what they say? Let something go. If it comes back to you, then you know that's true love, right? Yes. They say that with relationships, right? Yeah. That's from a movie. But it's the same with kids. You have to let them spread their wings. If you've done the right thing and created the right foundation, they'll come back to you.
I agree. 100%.
Yeah, and it'll be better than ever.
Yes. True.
All right, you guys. Let's talk about intuition. Do you know what intuition is? You?
Intuition. Mm-hmm. Yes. Somewhat. I'm trying to distinguish the two between instinct and intuition.
It's similar. They go hand in hand.
Yeah, because I feel like I have great instinct. Like I see things before they unfold.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have intuition as well. Like I see things before they happen too.
Yeah. So intuition is the ability to understand something immediately without the need for conscious reasoning.
Yep. Something like experiences I've gone through in life where I'm like, I knew this was going to happen. Why did I put myself in this situation? Yeah. I knew better. You know what I'm saying? That kind of stuff.
Yeah, because it's almost like the way I describe it is your brain is computing things without you having to tell it. It's like the automatic stuff programming that's happening. Your brain noticed that person put their hand behind their back. You aren't even aware of it, but your brain picked up on it. You're not consciously aware. So like your brain will do that with 1,000 different things, data points.
Yeah.
And it'll feed those data points to you and be like, based on this data, this is a bad situation. And you don't even know what those data points were because your brain did it so rapidly, but you have to trust that the output is, this is a bad situation. That's intuition.
So is it same thing as when we go to a restaurant, I don't like my back to the door. I have to look at the door. I have to see people coming in. Is that intuition or instinct?
I don't know if that really, that's just, I don't know if that pertains. But I guess it'll allow intuition better because if you have access to more data, the more data you have access to that your brain will automatically compute, the better. If you're facing the door, your brain is going to pick up if a car came into the parking lot quickly. You might not even be aware, but your brain picked up on it. You know what I mean?
I notice everything. It's crazy. Yeah. I do. I'm aware of everything.
That's a product of your upbringing as well.
I'm sure it is too. Mm-hmm. I wonder if it's my brain too, if it's my ADHD brain, because my boy Lo said he's like a people watcher. He's aware of everything. He notices everything too.
Could be like a hyper focus. People, with ADHD do have the tendency to hyper focus on specific things.
Okay.
But you know what? In intuition, everybody can have it. I know we're going to talk about like mother's intuition in this episode, but obviously everyone can have it and you can hone intuition. But you know what the best way to make sure that you're sharp and that your intuition is on point so that you're collecting all these data points? Keep your brain sharp. No drugs, alcohol, brain altering chemicals, get good sleep, drink water, have a good diet, you know, be rested. All of those things will help you be sharper.
Especially sleep. You need that. Because if I'm not sleeping, I don't feel like I'm hitting like I should.
Yeah. Why do you think a lot of people get into accidents in the morning on the way to work?
I say all the time because they rush out of bed. They're in a hurry to brush their teeth, wash their face, maybe take a quick shower, grab their cup of coffee and run out the door. And they're still not even woken up yet. You know what I'm saying? And I always say that. Be careful in the morning driving because half these people are asleep. And then they have the tendency, because they're addicts, to do this while they're driving. What the fuck are you doing? Look at the road, you idiot. You're barely awake and you're staring at your phone in the road. I want to slap them, bro. What are you doing?
I know, but you know? It is true that you get... So if you are awake and alert and you clear-headed and you're on the road and you don't even realize this, but your brain is scanning the entire freeway. Your brain picks up on a car all the way to the left, happens to pick up their phone and then, or they swerve a little bit, whatever. Do you ever notice that all of a sudden you'll be like, you'll do something in anticipation of what you think someone is about to do?
Like, all the time.
How do you know that? It's because that's intuition.
All the time.
That's because your brain has seen them pick up something from the floor or swerve a little bit or change lanes erratically, and you didn't even really necessarily see all those things. Hey, this person's about to get in my lane.
Yep.
Happens on the daily.
Daily. And I'll tell you a quick little story. I was jumping on the freeway, 280, by my house, San Francisco, years ago, with an ex-girlfriend of mine. I'm in my 5.0 Mustang, 1993 GT 5.0. And as I merged onto the freeway, I don't know how I saw it. It looked like slow motion to me, but I got caught wind of it on my left eye. I see a car hit another car, like went to his lane, hit him. And he was going to push him into me. I had nowhere to go. It was going to come into me. So what I did, I dropped the gear and punched the gas and boom. And I got out of there. It missed by inches. My ex, she came out of her skin. Her heart was panting and racing. She was like, and then people were coming to the freeway were like, yeah, that was badass, bro. Like, it looked like a movie.
Because
I missed
most
it.
People would have slammed on their brakes, not sped up.
I sped up to get out of it because it was coming right at me. It was like, I had no choice. It was going to hit me one way or another. I don't think I even could have braked. So I saw it happen in a slow motion. I don't know how I caught it, but dropped the gear, gassed it, and I was gone.
Just another reason why it's important to be ready at all times. Be prepared and ready. Have ready for battle, like you always say. Ready, clear-headed, proper night's sleep as often as possible. Not groggy on sleeping pills and whatever else you might be taking or hungover.
Yeah. Also, you guys, if you're going to go like to, let's just say, pay attention to your intuition. You're going to go to ATM and you must go. But you see some shady ass characters on the ATM, that intuition will tell you, you know what? This is not a safe scenario. I better not go to this ATM or go to a gas station. And you know what? This ain't the best of neighborhoods. Maybe I shouldn't go to this gas station. That's intuition. Because I see things happen before they do. Okay, fuck it. I don't care. It's just my nerves or it's just my paranoia. And then I go and then I get jacked or I get robbed or you get robbed. But we knew better, but we still did it.
Yeah, no, I agree completely. It's just, and I think you can hone it and get really good with it. But this is my fascination. And if you guys listened to the last episode, I think we talked about it in the after show, actually, on Patreon. But Alyssa and I were talking about how I have this, I'm an empath, right? With her, especially with both my kids, especially. I'm telling you guys, when they are not good, like I feel it, but I literally can feel like if they're sick. Like when Tyler had that sickness after COVID, like a couple years ago or a year ago, I felt so sick. I started to feel weird that he had sores in his mouth. I could feel my mouth didn't feel good. Like it's weird. And
that is weird.
I know it's strange, but it's real. I can't tell you. That's one of the reasons why I stopped drinking is because I would get this aversion to alcohol when I would look at Alyssa's face and she's hungover. I'm like, oh God, it makes me feel so nauseous. So I was thinking like, is that mother's intuition?
It's got to be. You do have strong intuition because before you even took me to the hospital, when you drug me to the emergency, you better go, babe. I suspect you had a stroke. And I was blowing it off. You're crazy. It's not no stroke. You were right the whole time. And I was arguing with you saying, no, it's not.
Yeah, because again, it's because you pick up suddenly that all the data points start to come together. Your brain had been collecting data and then something happens and then it files it along with all the other data points. And then it tells you, that's the intuition. That's what you feel. You know what I mean? Like maybe I had been collecting data, like he's not testing his blood pressure. Little things have been bothering me and I file it away. That's how my brain works. I file it. And then one thing sets that file, opens that file drawer up. Like, nope, that's it.
So did you feel empathy for me that day when I was all throwing up and just out of it?
Yeah, of course. But not the same as with the kids.
No.
So that's what got me really thinking. Like, what is it with a mother's intuition, though? They just know things. Did you know that there is, this is a study that was done in 2012. There needs to be more studies on it, but there's been a few studies and they're exploring this. But there are your child's cells in your brain. Like I have some of Tyler's cells living inside of me. And there is some proof or some studies that have shown that they break the blood brain barrier and can be found in the brain. They've actually done studies where mothers inside of their brain, they find male cells. There is no reason why a mother would have a male cell unless, and they only find it in women who have had sons. So that's why they test it. It's too hard to test it for girls because obviously there's no, but you can get, basically you can end up like, basically Tyler and Alyssa's cells are living inside of me still. And that can explain, that also can explain why twins, because they share some cells.
Yes.
Why twins can feel each other far away, yes, whatever. And mother's intuition can be explained that way.
What's the scary thing about mother's intuition? It's a sad one. And I've read stories about this. I heard different stories of where mothers will wake up suddenly, say you're sleeping, deep sleep, out of the realm sleep, wake up and lose their breath and start shaking convulsively. And then get that fateful phone call that one of their kids is gone. Something happened. Like
yeah.
They fell in their bones like something happened to one of my kids.
So there's a connection with this. So a 2012 study published in the medical journal examined the brains of 59 women who had died between the ages of 32 and 100. Nearly two-thirds of the women in the sample were found to have traces of male DNA with the Y chromosome in various regions in their brain. The Y chromosome could not have come from the women's fathers because if it had, they would have been born male. The only logical explanation was that the male DNA had come from their sons. Those women that there was male DNA found in their brains all had sons.
That was the
study that showed it. So living cells, I literally have living cells of Tyler and Alyssa inside of me. Mothers around the world say that they feel like their children are still part of them long after they've given birth. As it turns out, that is literally true. During pregnancy, cells from the fetus cross the placenta and enter the mother's body where they can become part of her tissues.
Man, so this is how my mother always knew when I was up to no good. I swear, when I tell you, I said, my mother was like a witch. Anytime I was up to no good, she'd go in my bedroom and find things I shouldn't have.
It also, to me, explains the difference, the connection with mothers and children. It's just different.
Oh, yeah. I always say that. It's way different because we come out of our mothers. There's a different, you're growing inside of them. Yes, the fathers have a part, play a part in it too, but no, it's not the same as mothers. It's a different kind of connection. It's a different bond. I always say that. I always feel that.
I mean, this makes sense to me. And they're doing a lot of research on it because if it's true, then they can make grow leaps and bounds in terms of neurological disorders and things like that. If there's like the stem cells of your children inside of you or whatever, I don't know. I was reading some crazy stuff
it.
But like I said, this is not a science podcast.
No.
But it was like an aha moment for me to think, oh my God, that makes so much sense. And that makes, it may also make sense why twins specifically, identical twins, why they feel certain things. If their twin is sick or they can feel something.
That's true. I've heard that.
And then mothers and children, it makes sense. So mothers are highly intuitive. That is a fact that even doctors and scientists acknowledge. There have been enough documented cases of mothers intuitively knowing when their children are in trouble, even if the children are far away. Even scientists and doctors and researchers all are in agreement that there's a connection there, which is why they're doing a lot of research on it.
We're always breaking the barriers, aren't we? Figuring things out. Especially this crazy mind of ours. It's like a mystery in itself. We're always learning new and new things about it.
I know. That was like a major aha moment because I know we talked about it. And Alyssa, she thinks I'm full of it. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, legitimately, I feel nauseous.
She doesn't believe you. You always tell me that. You always tell me every time you see her hungover, like, you feel it. And I'm like, how? It's not your body. It's not the one. You didn't induce the alcohol into you. So how the hell do you feel it?
That's why. There's the answer.
Wow.
Their living cells are inside of me.
So you don't think it's placebo that you're doing it to yourself?
No, I don't, because there has been times when I have felt unwell and then I go to her and say, hey, are you hungover by chance? And she'll be like, yeah. So before she even tells me,
damn,
I feel it.
You'd be like, Alyssa, please stop being hungover. I'm feeling it.
Oh my God.
What about when Tyler was hungover? Did you
feel
it?
Yeah, of course, 100%. I'm telling you, I've had a lot of those intuitive moments, not even just hangovers, but when they're sick or not well mentally, like I feel heavy. I feel it, and that's why I'm extra like
your
alert.
Mother had very good intuition.
She
look
did.
With your daughter, what she found on her, and said she must go to the hospital now. Like,
yeah.
There was no questioning. You jammed, grabbed everything, and was like,
yeah,
out the door.
You realize on a podcast, when you throw a story like that doesn't have any context.
I know. I'm just saying your mother had very good. All our mothers did, I guess. But you're right. It makes sense. It does make a lot of sense. I feel like women have very good intuition, especially mothers. Men, depending on how we were raised, especially like men like myself, we have very good street instincts.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Well, intuition, guys, it's a thing. Clear your brains out, get some mental clarity in there, go on a good supplement routine and hone your intuition.
Yeah, hone your skills.
All right, you guys, that's it for today's episode of 499, but we're heading right into the after show over on Patreon, because what did I say I was going to talk about? Oh, bachelors.
Yes.
Bachelors getting in trouble.
You know, some dirt.
I know some dirt. So
about girls, too.
We going to get into it. All right, you guys, we'll see you on episode 500.